Would you introduce yourselves, please?
My name is Johnny.
I'm Connor from Baby Strange.
I'm Aiden.
Okay, so this is not even on here. I mean, what the heck? You guys are supposed to be dark. You're supposed to be, you know, scary. You're too much fun. There's too much smiling already. How are you going to, like, take on this persona of who you are if you're this nice already?
Well, basically, there's one reason why we're smiling, and it's because on Monday in Scotland, the pubs opened back up after lockdown. That is why we're happy. Usually we're miserable. Well,
so I want to go to this place called Beetroot. Tell me about Beetroot, because Beetroot sounds like the club that people that, I'm being funny here, the kids were in trouble, you know, that we're getting in trouble, that went to and said, okay, we'll give you some instruments and we'll occupy your mind. And you know, who knows, maybe you'll be the next Franz Ferdinand or whoever. Is that what that was back then when you were like 13, 14, when you went to this thing?
Pretty much, yeah. It was a place we could go on a Monday and a Wednesday and just try and be creative and not be out in the streets fighting people, to put it bluntly.
So I got it. I was right about that.
On, yeah.
And a lot of the time, music might not even be the main thing. It was based around being creative, but, you know, it was just a place indoors as well because it rains most of the time. Yeah.
And then you're quoted in many places at 17 that you were like, well, you used the words living for nothing. I mean, were you basically surrounded by people that you knew it wasn't going to be the going to, you know, college and you know, and having the proper job as the lawyer or the accountant? Was that just everything surrounding you at that moment in time?
I mean, this was like maybe 10 years ago we said that, and kind of at that time it was just like the band or nothing. It still is like that to some extent, I suppose, but at that time it was like, you know, we didn't want it like a real job, and at that point as well, it was hard for a band like us from where we live to kind of try and break through, because it was like so many bands from London and stuff that were kind of had the backing and stuff, and like we didn't. So it was kind of reflecting on that.
Where was it? Was there any point where you turned to each other and said, okay, we're going to take this seriously, and, you know, we're not sure we're going to go to the top or most of the pop or most, but we're sure going to die trying.
We've always been quite cutthroat with, like, the way we see things.
We always had music at the centre of our life anyway. It was never a job. I hope it never is a job. So it was always the most serious, the most important thing. There's no plan B.
Yeah.
Let's get this over with. Should we all go dan da dan 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 da dan dan and sing the name of the band? Should we all go there? It's a great song. It's a fantastic song.
We loved the song.
Yeah, we loved it. We liked it because we came up with the name separately. We liked it. We were on the same wavelength as Mark Bolan. It was like, that'll do. It does for him.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna be on the same wavelength, Mark Bolan's not a bad guy to be on the.
And we loved T-Rex and Mark Bolan anyway. We just hadn't heard that. I think it's a B-side, yeah. So we hadn't heard that. So it was immediately after we got the name, we just googled it, and it was like, yeah, this works.
Do you remember any of the first songs you wrote? Like the very, very, very first songs?
I've actually got a booklet of all the songs I wrote from the age of like 13 till now. And yeah, they're pretty cringe. Pretty cringe. I think my mum and dad actually kept them in the house for me because they knew I would look back at myself and with absolute disgust. And they were...
Okay. At your very best, hit me with a few bars of one of them.
Probably singing about blood and like a graveyard or something, because I was 13 and moody, you know. Mm-hmm. Can't actually recite, thankfully.
Oh, you can't? Okay. Yeah, thankfully.
Yeah, we've actually not moved on very much since then.
Okay, so there's this huge hole kind of in the bio and between everything, between 2012 and 2015. Is that where the figuring out time was before Pleasure City got some attention?
We did want to play as much as possible. The band came out of a kind of party culture. So it was a kind of like night out as much as it was a band. And so for 3 years, it was a lot of nights out, a lot of gigs, that's why we were doing it. We did residencies at clubs in Glasgow that some of them we can't remember. You know, we apparently...
I know what you mean by a night out. I get it.
So
I understand.
But yeah, and then we get an opportunity to record in London for Pleasure City.
2015 is kind of when radio started picking us up in the UK. And then like a year later, we put out our first album. So that's kind of like the headspace.
Yeah, so it was... We always felt that we were aiming towards an album, but it wasn't like we were running towards it. We were just quite happy to use the band to have fun at first.
And we're still doing that.
And we're still doing that. Really, really, we take it as serious as we did then. But I think that's a good thing. It's not become something else.
So was there a moment you turned to each other and said, "You know, this might last. This actually might be what we're doing."
We're not in a Hollywood movie.
when we're talking to Dennis the Menace in 2022, you know.
Maybe we'll have that chat after this Zoom call.
Yes. Yeah. You're prompting it now.
Yeah.
Okay, let's blow something up that I blow up for a living, and that's genres.
Oh, well, let's see. Are you post-punk? Are you punk? Are you electropunk? Are you punky punk-a-punk?
It's like when you're actually talking about the music across the bar to somebody.
So it's just been like people that kind of write reviews for us have said we're punk. We've actually, as a band, I don't think we've ever said it.
It's just a sort of frame of mind that you come to things with. I don't know if it works as a musical genre so much, but I think music journalism's a dying art though, so you can't expect much.
You say something which I really like. And you've said it multiple times. You say that you want to be direct when writing your songs.
If it works in a small room with people, it should work. It works anyway. So, and that's how you be direct and how you always try and be direct, because you don't want to go over people's heads. And we don't even think about music like that. It's just the way we are, I think.
Yeah, it's like the way... It's like our personalities are quite like that. So I think that just kind of comes off in the music,
mm-hmm.
which definitely helps.
There's a reason a lot of rock stars are no longer with us. There's a reason a lot of bands are no longer around. And that is mental health and alcohol and drugs. So do you feel like this is something that you should be talking about more and the things you've been through and what it takes to do this day to day?
I think it was something in the past that I would shy away from with songwriting just because I was younger and bit more kind of like self-conscious, I suppose. But kind of with like our last EP, I kind of touched on mental health, and it's like something that I've been kind of triggering with the new record as well. Just trying to be more upfront and honest with myself about kind of struggles and not just kind of pretend that it's a big party all the time, because it's not.
New label, new management, new agent, clean slate.
It's something that we spoke about for years.
Yeah. Time.
But we were sort of slightly scared that if we kind of dropped everything, that the band would just like would kind of fall apart. But then it gets to a point when it's like the band just can't move any further with the people that are surrounding it. So the band's kind of done anyway. So it's that or mm-hmm. trying.
We almost were functioning by ourselves by the end anyway.
Yeah, so. Like we felt kind of self-managed by the end of it, and it was just time. Yeah, I think kind of once one thing kind of fell apart, they all fell apart, and it was the best thing that's ever happened to the band.
Yeah.
So you choose a Stockholm label. How did that happen?
Well, we got a new management, and he had some contacts and people that he thought that we would like, and immediately with Icons, it just seemed like we were on the same page, and I think we'd been hungry to meet people like that. After the last few years before signing with them, we were just forcing things, I think. It just didn't feel natural. And how quickly things got moving with Icons during a pandemic was like, wow, we really are on the same page if we can make this work. And it's been like that since.
It's been so refreshing.
Yeah, refreshing is the word.
So that must feel good to have people on your side who are really on your side and are doing the work so you can focus on what you're supposed to be doing.
It's like we're not paranoid about kind of forcing a manager to actually work because we know he's just doing it. And it's like such a comforting feeling, because kind of in the past we've just kind of always been like, oh, like, is like, should more stuff be happening behind the scenes?
And I think we can trust how he speaks to people. We trust that he gets what we're about. So when he's representing us, it feels more natural.
So I see the note about midnight. I put it up on the big screen on my big screen, you know, on the really big sound system. And I'm still creeped out by that train.
Great. That's exactly it.
I'm from New York. Okay. So I've been on some pretty dangerous trains. Is that the underground, by the way? Where is that train?
It was actually a cartoon. It was actually made by a guy from Glasgow. So it's just from his head.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
I think it's loosely based on the subway in Glasgow.
Kind of like,
so that is Glasgow subway.
Yeah, because it's loosely based, and we're trying to create our own little world. So, but the colours are, you can see.
So you're telling me when I come to Glasgow, I might want to stay off the subway?
No, not at all. I think it just looks like lockdown to me.
It looks like hell is what it looks like. It works so well, you know, with the music. So take me behind the scenes a little bit. What is the filter for a Baby Strange song? How do you know when you're writing this song, when you're demoing it, how do you know and turn to each other and go, yeah, that's our song? How do you know?
If I feel slightly out of my comfort zone, that's like a good starting point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I feel like, oh, this might not be right. Usually it's the best songs.
Yeah. I think if you'd asked us that last year, we would have probably had an answer. But doing the new album, I think we were pushing it. So some songs we were just trying, just for trying's sake, and they ended up being our favourites. So we're trying to expand what that Baby Strange song could be.
What did you bring into the studio, and how finished was what you brought into the studio?
In lockdown, we actually kind of booked out a couple of houses in Scotland. And we done a bunch of demos for the record, which was something we've never done before, which was cool. And a lot of like the drum sounds on the album have got like 808 samples and stuff kind of sitting underneath the snares. And like, so we're trying to kind of push the drum machine thing, kind of blended with the actual kit, which is something we were totally buzzing on the studio with.
Yeah.
Producer, engineer.
A guy called Chris Marshall, we've been working with him. I mean, he tracked our first album, but that was mixed elsewhere. But we've done two EPs with him as well, so he understands how we work, and he understood that we wanted to push ourselves on this record and not just do the brash punk thing that folk might expect. It's, as I was saying, it's got more clarity, it's got depth,
yeah.
We feel.
We had boring conversations about where certain instruments should sit. And the track
chord placements, yeah. And like, you know, like that's a bit too much like a bar chord, let's try it like this. And I was like, what has happened to us? We've changed.
But it works. And when you've got a year of a pandemic, you can have these conversations and take your time, which actually
definitely worked out.
Yeah.
But Club Sabbath. So this Club Sabbath is going to make its way to other places, isn't it?
Yeah, like basically, we would just love to do it kind of every night on tour.
Yeah.
You know, if we've got a show in Paris, like, we'll just do it for, like, the after party.
That's really brilliant. That's so much fun that the audience can continue with the band and get the other part of the band at a party afterwards. Why didn't more people think of that? That's a really smart idea.
So look, it's more work, but
maybe bands don't like to party as much as we do.
Okay, ready? I'm gonna unpeel something for you. You know who's who are really close friends of mine, and actually, I am the only one that's ever had them on together. I'll give you the clue, and let's see if you know who it is. I had them on together a few months ago, right before he went on tour. And before she did her new EP, and they just got engaged.
Johnny and Haley. You that we do Club Sabbath in Glasgow is a place called The Priory. The owner of that is a guy called Jokey, and he became friends with DMAs. And then because of that, we became friends with them. And then we actually booked Haley and Johnny to DJ at Club Sabbath once under the name Sullen Kink.
Wow.
That was a fun night. Can't actually remember that much of it, but it was a fun night.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Great DJs. The great DJs. Great DJs, yeah. Really good.
When you now step back for a second, have you stepped back and listened to your own thing and said, you know, we did this. We pulled this off. We got to the next level.
I mean, I love the records.
Yeah.
It's so,
I love it.
It helps that it's been so long between the first record and the second record that I feel like maybe if we stuck out the second album like a year after the first, it's like there's no time to reflect, mm-hmm. because we've had so long and like we've learned and like we've got better as a band and as writers. It's like the perfect timing for us. I mean, our fans might be like 6 years really, but for us it's a good feeling.
Mm-hmm. I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside, except you're three. So you get a club sandwich. You get three songs, but then free form, you're going to pick songs by anybody else in between.